ministries that we support.
Going to give you a clue. I'm going to preach a sermon that there's a part of me that says I need to just bring my Bible down here and sit here the whole time. Pastor, why do you do that? Why do you preach sermons? And if you're visiting with us and go, why is everybody laughing when he sits down? They're laughing in fear because everybody has a tell. And if I'm going to say something that's a little rough, I'm going to step on people's toes, usually my own. I sit down. If you want to know why I sit down when I preach that way, it's because my feet hurt when I'm standing and walking on my own feet. So I have to sit down because these things affect me. The greatest sermons that God has ever given me are sermons that He gives me that mess me up. And before I get into the sermon today, let me give you just a little bit of a background. I put on Facebook about a month ago, a challenge. And that, you know what a challenge is? A challenge is, let's try to do something. It doesn't always mean we succeed. It means we try. I put a challenge up to read the Bible completely through, or listen to it, between Easter and our Ignition 18 revival. It's a little over 40 days. And I will let you know, I am about 5 or 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 books behind. My wife is a little behind, but she's way ahead of me. But it's a great thing. We've been listening to the Bible. We find ourselves when we're traveling, we're in the car, we'll put the Bible on. And we listen. We've been listening to the Bible, and we've been going through and our house, and I don't know why this is important, but in our house we've been highlighting every time we hear the word "but," preparing for the daily "buts" as we do those on a daily basis. But we've been going through, and we were listening to the Bible, and I believe we were in the car the other day, I think, and one of our trips to Kansas City this week, and we were in the car, and we were doing 2 Kings, and I heard one of the verses just jumped out of the radio at me. And I thought, oh, wow. And it began to mull in my brain, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want you to open your Bibles with me today. Amen, amen, amen. If you're a guest with us today, we get excited when we open the Word of the Lord. 2 Kings, chapter number 17. 2 Kings chapter number 17, we're going to begin reading in verse number 32. This is what the word of the Lord says. So they, and they meaning the foreigners that had come into Samaria, so they feared the Lord, and from every class they appointed themselves priests of the high places who sacrificed for them in the shrines of the high places. They feared the Lord, yet served their own gods, according to the rituals of the nations from among whom they were carried away. To this day they continue practicing the four former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes, or their ordinances, or the law of the commandment. Which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant that charged them, saying, You shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm, him you shall fear. Him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances, the law and the commandment, which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord is your God. You shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. However, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. So these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carven images. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did, even to this day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and I thank you and I praise you for your power, for your anointing, for your peace, and for your mercy. And Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way and let your word speak into the lives of your people. Lord, help us to throw down our other gods and serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. They worshiped the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. When you look at this passage in the New Living Translation, that's the words it says. They worshiped the Lord. They feared God. Man, that sounds exciting. Revival had come. Now, when you research this and you back this up, you find that the enemies had come into the land. And I love this part of the story. Enemies had come into the land and taken possession. And the Lord sent a lion among the people and killed many of them. And they cried out and they said, "Send us a priest of this land who can show us how to worship the God of this land so he will not send an enemy against us. He will not send wild beasts in to kill us." And so they brought back a priest, and the priest began to teach them about the law of the Lord. And they worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah! Praise God! But, again, when you look into another translation, the New Living Translation, it says, "But they appointed many other people to be priests of their gods." Oh, we've got God and that's enough, but we're still going to have what we want. We're still going to reach out and we're going to have the other. I've got news for you. It is great that they worship God. Can I tell you, it's great that we worship God. It's great that we celebrate and we say that we are a Christian. Our nation claims to be a Christian nation. Our churches claim to be Christian churches. But, everybody knows I like that word, but. But, if you watch my videos, I say this every day, but changes everything. We worship the Lord, but our problem and the reason why we struggle in our modern day, reason why we spend so much time in tears and wanting to know where the victory is because we got a but in our life. We worship the Lord, but what is the but? We worship the Lord, but we also appoint all sorts of people as priests.
Come on.
We let all kinds of people speak into our life. We let anybody who gets up in a pulpit speak into our life.
That's right.
I tell you this about me, because if you do it to me, then you'll do it to everybody.
That's right.
Never, ever, ever take my word for it. Get in the Bible. My word is not the final word. This word is the final word. I can make a mistake. I haven't, but I could. My wife is back there going, he's right, he's never made a mistake. She knows. I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. I can mess up, but this word doesn't. When we let anybody speak into us, before I say this, I want to tell you, I'm not talking to or about anybody. Okay? This is buckshot. This is not a shotgun. Okay? We'll let anybody who puts a title in front of their name speak into our life.
Come on.
Prophet this, apostle that, pastor this, evangelist this. Just because they got a title don't mean that they got the truth.
Right.
We'll let anybody who can have a TV show speak into our life. But it doesn't stop there. We let anybody that can type a few words in Facebook speak into our life.
Well.
We let anybody that can tweet a tweet speak into our life. We let anybody who can speak a negative word speak into our life. We appoint for ourselves all sorts of people as priests, as shepherds, as people who lead us. I said this years ago, and I'll say it again at the risk of offending people. We got a few people that Fox News speaks into you more than the Word of God speaks into you. We may even have a few of you that CNN speaks into you more than the Word of God speaks into you. And I know we got a few of you that the Country Music Channel speaks into you more than God speaks into you. I'll tell you something. When we know more, I'm going to pick on my son. I don't have much time yet to do it. When we know more about the Marvel Universe, we know about the Word of God, we got a problem. When we understand more, my son will come in, he'll go off talking about the Marvel Universe and blah, 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 and I'll go, who was the fourth king of Israel? Go figure that out. And I'll ask you a question. Why? Fine if he likes the Marvel Universe, but he's got to know the Word of God. But our problem is, we've had all these other gods that we have brought in. I could have done this whole sermon on one verse. Here's what it says in the New King James. I'll see it in a minute. It says, so these nations feared the Lord, yet served their carven images. And their children and their children's children have continued doing as their fathers did even to this day. The New Living Translation says, so they worship the Lord. They also worship their idols. I'm not taking a long time today. I'm going to get right to the point. You know what's wrong with our church? And when I say our church, I'm not talking about the overarching church of the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the Church of God as a denomination. I'm talking about Souls Harbor Church of God. You know what's the problem with our church? We worship the Lord, but we also worship our idols. We've also built up carven images. Pastor, I ain't got no idols in my house. Yeah, you do. Different idols for different people. For some it's TV. For some it's Facebook. For some it's social media. For some it's your job. For some it's your family. For some it's leisure. Some of them sound good. Pastor, I got to be committed to my job. You're right, you do. Should your job come before God? Can God bless anything that comes before Him? He can't. You want to know why you struggle in your blessings? It's because you live everything in your life to take care of your job, and God fits in wherever He can, and God can't bless what He's not in the middle of. Now, am I telling you to neglect your job? No, that's not what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling you, that if we truly live a God-centered life, then we do everything in our job as if we're doing it to the Father, as if we're serving God. We become the best at our job, but not so we get acclaim, not so we get raises, not so we get recognition, but so we can bring glory and honor to God. We put Him in the middle. Some of you, your idol is your family. Oh, now, Pastor, don't mess with my family. My family, that's number one in my life. That's why your family's messed up. God has to be number one. I am so fed up. Well, Pastor, you know, we got to have some family time. When was the last time you had family time in the presence of God? If you want to learn what family time is best when it's centered around the Word of God, when it's centered around a family altar, when it's centered around worshiping the Lord. I'm not telling you that you can never miss a Sunday to spend time with your family. But I'm telling you, when you take that opportunity every week, there's a problem. When church time becomes whenever we can fit it in to the family calendar, if your calendar looks like my calendar, our priorities are messed up. What happened to the day when we said, yes, we will go to the lake, or yes, we'll go to a picnic right after church, right after we worship God? Coming to church doesn't make you a believer. But I'm convinced that if you're not committed to getting your family to church, you're not going to be committed to getting your family to a family altar. If you're not committed to coming, if you're not committed to coming and let somebody else lead you in worship and let somebody else break down the word and let somebody else do all the work and you just sit there and consume, there is no way that you're going to be committed enough to break it down yourself. I'm going to tell you, church is the easy way out. You come here, I've done the work. The praise team has done the work. You know why they were so fired up this morning? Because they got fired up in rehearsal. They had spiritual revivals. They had a physical healing. They had all kinds of things happen in rehearsal. That's why they were fired up. They've done the work. How many of you prayed before you came to church? Oh, well, Pastor, we come to church to pray. No, 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 no. We come to church to glorify God. We come to church to join together with like minds. It's time that we start spending some time in prayer before we walk in the door. Prayed up, fired up, filled up. We should already be walking the door and excited instead of walking in and going, okay, preacher, fire me up. All right, Pastor Anna, you better get it flowing good or I'm not going to be in it today. Let me tell you something. We worship the Lord. We worship our idols. Sometimes it's our family. It's our job. It's ourself. You want to know if yourself is your idol? How many times a day do you say I? Some of you go, huh, not many. Some of you go, oh, I want this. I need that. I wish this would just happen. Why don't they do that for me? My desire, my need, my circumstance. I, me. How many times in your prayer time do you say, give me? Give me. You want to have to put God number one in your life? You want to have to get rid of the idol of me? Knock it out of your vocabulary. Oh, but God, but Pastor, I want God to bless me. No. God, I want to glorify you. God, what can I do for you? What can I give you? How can I sacrifice me for you? When we're constantly asking for me, we're trying to serve the idol of ourselves. We're serving the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that we receive not when we ask because we ask amiss. We're asking for the wrong stuff. God, give me. God said, why don't you give me you?
Come on.
Where did we come to the place that we decided it was okay to serve God and serve other things as well? Oh, well, I got God number one. But man, don't mess with my NASCAR schedule. The next one on the list. I got God number one, but preacher, you better be through preaching before the Chiefs kick off. You better be through preaching before the Cowboys take the field, because that's where God is anyway, watching the Cowboys. But we have all of these things. When we come into the world and we begin to try to serve God but serve other things, we become divided. We become divided in our own heart. There's only one God. There's only one God. Why have we become a nation of so many idols? Steal the line from Kurt Franklin in a Toby Mac song. It says, America has no more stars, now we call them idols. We look up to actors and actresses. We let fictitious characters dictate the way we live our life. We let the image of music stars dictate our life. Oh, we do not. You better check out your kids because they dress like them and they do their hair like them. And they talk like them. But we do the same thing. We do it with Southern gospel singers, Christian rock singers. We take those people and we put them too high in our life. Let me tell you something. Many of you are here today. And most of you are going, no, I don't do that. Oh, I'm good. I don't do that. But here's my question. What is more important to you than reading your Bible? And in this room, most of you say nothing. Great. So that means you read your Bible every day. Most of you go, well, not every day. Then something's more important. What's more important to you than prayer time? Nothing's more important than prayer. Great, then you pray every day. Not every day. What's more important to you than the coming together of the saints to glorify God? Nothing. Where were you last week? See, we say one thing, but we live another. Here's the scariest part of that verse. I'm going to read it so I get it right. It says, So these nations learn or fear the Lord, yet serve their carven images. Here's what scares me. Also their children and their children's children have continued doing as their father did even to this day. What you do, your kids will do. Amen. If you go home and you talk about the preacher, your kids will go home and talk about the preacher.
Right.
You go home and you complain about how long service was, your kids will complain how long service was. You go home and complain that the pastor is too harsh and too rough, then the kids will go home, and they may not talk about how the pastor is too harsh and too rough, but they'll talk about how Pastor Brian is too harsh and too rough. They'll talk about how Miss Marilyn just don't understand. You know where they heard those words? Because that's what you said about me. It's what you said about other people in the church. When you go home and you talk about how that this one was rude and that one wasn't friendly, guess what? What you can mark it down. Your kids will say the same thing about the people that they go to church with. When we set up idols in our life and we make them more important than God. Do we need to read the Bible today? Yeah, but let's do this first. Do we need to pray today? Yes, but let's do this first. It's the day today we worship God, yes, but let's do this first. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at us. I'm preaching this message because when I heard it, I thought, uh-oh. Why am I behind in my Bible reading? I've read every day, but I haven't read enough. I'm tired. It's been a hectic week. It's been. Ann knows we've been together a lot this week. It's been painful. It's been hectic. I just want to relax. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. I'm going to tell you something. When you decide what you're giving up to relax, it bothers me what I choose sometimes to give up. I'll give up prayer time or Bible reading before I give up watching Andy again and again and again. And it's not because of Andy, it's because I want a veg. I'll give up seeking God to do nothing. Church, I'm not telling you that we have to live and be in the Bible 24/7. I am telling you we got to pray 24/7. The Bible says pray without ceasing. How do we do that? Well, you pray on the run. You're constantly talking to God. You're constantly giving God glory. You're constantly doing that. I don't want to think about Jesus right now. Well, something's wrong. I've come to preach a simple message today. To ask a simple question. That question is very simply, do we do the same? Do we worship the Lord? Do we fear the Lord? But still worship our idols? What is it in your life that you will put before church? You'll put before Bible reading. You'll put before prayer. You say nothing. Then I want you to think back. Why didn't you read the Bible yesterday? Why didn't you pray yesterday? Oh, I prayed, Pastor. I sat down at dinner and said, Lord, bless this food, heal it, and raise it from the dead. I'll tell you something. When statistics tell me that most pastors pray 3 to 7 minutes a week. 3 to 7 minutes a week. That means most of you pray less than that. I'll tell you something. You know what a lot of you do with this book? You do what I do. I read this book every day. But you know my problem when I read it every day? It's all sermon prep. I'm getting ready for my sermons or my Bible study or this, that, or the other. Some of you are reading the Bible more now than you ever have. But if I ask you, have you read the Bible outside of preparing for ladies' Bible study or Wednesday night Bible study? Our Sunday school, you go, I love that you're in the Word for the Bible studies. That's great. But I'm going to tell you something. You're doing the minimum you can do. Come on. Why aren't we digesting this Word? There are times that I've got to get into this Word. Not about giving it out. I got to get into this Word about building me up. You know why I don't? Because this over here seems more important. Hear what I said? This over here seems more important. Now let's rephrase that and make all the church people go, that thing which is more important has become my idol, and I worship it before I worship God. I sacrifice. The Word of God on the altar of something else. I sacrifice the worship of God on the altar of something else. We live in a town where you have access to Christian music radio. And yet we sacrifice the opportunity to worship God or the opportunity to hear the Word of God or whatever it is. We sacrifice it so we can hear about our dog running away and our wife running off with somebody. Come on. We fill our hearts and our heads with things that are not godly because we like the beat. Well. And we wonder why we struggle. Notice I said we. I've been there. We wonder why we struggle. Because we're doing the same thing. I'm a Christian. except I got to have some time to just veg. And when I veg, I don't want to worry about my faith. I wish I could just have one day that I could just slap people. Am I the only one that's ever said that? Just give me one day. Well, that's true. Am I the only one in the house that's ever said, wish I just had 1 hour that I could just cuss that person up one side and down the other? I bet I could make up some words. Some of y'all just looked at me and went, our pastor said that? Yeah, there's been times. Now, the difference is I haven't done it. Some of you have done it. But I'm going to tell you something. We let our anger get in the way. We let all these things get in the way. And when we walk in the door of the church, when we let God become second in our life, we walk in the door. I made it to church. I'm surviving. I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's just an open seat. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You know why we walk in like that? I promise you, one of these days I'm going to take all the seats out of there. And I'm going to put them all up here. And I'm going to invite the praise teams to come out here in the three or four seats. And I'm going to invite them to sleep. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're up here trying to lead worship, and you got a couple people who... Let me rephrase it. You got a couple people that are worshiping. You got the vast majority of people that have walked into church and they've worshiped their idols all week. They've worshiped other things in their life all week. And they walk into church and they're beat down and they're bruised and they're beat up. And they sit out there looking like they're about to... Right? And they look at us on the platform and say, fix it! Make me feel better! I can't fix that in here. You have to fix that out there. You know how we should walk in? I'm making Pastor Brian work today. We should walk in the house of God. Praise God, I was praying this morning. And the anointing is on me. Oh, who's going to sing? Come on, let's get up. And... Come on. Oh, Pastor, I can't do that. That's not my personality. You know what that means? That means your personality has become an idol. That's not the way we do it in our church. Then your church tradition has become an idol. We walk into the house of God beat up and bruised because we haven't spent any time in the Word. We haven't spent any time in prayer. We don't know who God really is. But when we walk in the door, we can be going through a battle. Come on, we can be going through a struggle. But when we walk in under the power and the anointing of God, we understand He is the lifter of my head. Ann walked in this place today. She stood over here and she worshiped. She cried. She had her hands up. She lost her baby this week. She sat by the bedside of her baby boy. If anybody had a right to not be here. Anybody had a right to say, I just can't handle it. All night, Wednesday night into Thursday. All night, Friday night into Saturday. All night. Anybody had the right. You know why she walks in those doors worshiping God? Because she knows who one God is. She's in the Word. She's in prayer. She's hurting. It's painful. But she knows victory. You can be seated. Thank you. Let me tell you something, church. We walk in this place moaning and groaning because we haven't spent any time in the Word. We haven't spent any time in prayer. We haven't sought God. We haven't worshiped God. You will never worship God in the sanctuary until you worship God in your bedroom. Until you can worship God in your family room, we can sing all the songs we want to sing and you ain't going to worship God. And don't give me this hogwash that you'd worship God if it was your style of music. Well, then guess what? You ain't going to worship then either, because if you don't know how to worship Him in your own, you ain't going to worship Him ever in public. I got news for you. God doesn't care what your style is. God can be worshipped new songs, old songs, hymn books, Gregorian chants. They lift Him up. I've worshipped God with rap music and Christian rock music and hip-hop music. And I've even worshipped God, this will blow your mind, with some Southern gospel stuff. Most of you died to know that I actually tried out for a Southern gospel quartet to travel with them at one time in my life. No joke. Quit laughing. And they told me that if they were looking for a baritone or a lead, I would have got the job, but they were looking for a high tenor and I couldn't pull off the notes. Now, how would that have been to shock you if I'd have come and said, yeah, I spent 2 years on the road with the Southern Gospel Quartet. People would be like, not Pastor Tommy. Yeah. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what the style is. Worship isn't about music. Worship is about the heart. And a heart that doesn't worship God alone can't worship God in a group. You want to know? Now, I'm not telling you this so you can judge. I'm telling you this so you see yourself, okay? You want to be able to tell who worships God at home? Look around and see who's worshiping God in church. Because if they ain't worshiping Him here, they don't worship at home. That's the way it is. Some of you are like, well, I don't worship here. And I don't worship at home. Do we do the same thing? Do we live our life saying that we're believers in God? But it has conditions. We live our life saying that we believe God, but it has conditions. I believe God as long as the preacher don't preach too long. I believe God as long as it doesn't mess up my lifestyle. I believe God as long as it doesn't cost me anything. Can I tell you, my belief in God has cost me some things over the years. It's cost me friends. It's cost me time. It's cost me money. It's cost me jobs. It's cost me some stuff. But it's worth every penny of it. When did we get this idea that we can only, that serving God is only supposed to make us happy? I talked about a couple weeks ago, we're aliens and foreigners in the same. We're never going to be happy here. We were not made to be happy here. But when we sell out to God. And we start saying, you know what? This is my faith. I long for a day that we have some people that are committed enough to stand and say, you know what? This is what I believe. My son is part of a different kind of church than I am. But he inspires me so much. You know why? Because we'll talk on the phone. And he talks about the scriptures. And he talks about the Bible. And he talks about his faith. And he says, Dad, I don't know that I agree with everything you do. Okay. But I'm not here to judge or cause a fight. This is where I got such great respect for my son. He said, but Dad, if I ever see you do something that I believe is true heresy, I wouldn't be right if I didn't tell you I thought it was heresy. And I went, whoa. You know why that made me go, whoa? It made me go, whoa, because I saw in my son a commitment to God and to faith that says, Dad, I know you've been in this your whole life. But if I think you're wrong, I'm going to tell you I think you're wrong. And I'm going to do it with love, and I'm going to do it with mercy, and I'm going to do it with compassion, and I'm not going to make a big deal of it. But I'm going to let you know I think you're wrong. Thankfully, so far, he hasn't really told me. He thinks I need to know a few more things than I know, but he hasn't really told me I thought I was wrong yet. But praise God. And you know what makes me mad? That I don't think I got many people in the church that will do the same thing. I got a lot of people in the church. Oh, they may argue with you. They don't argue with you about the word. I can't believe you let them sing that kind of music in our church. I can't believe you don't even dress right. I even tucked my shirt in today. Need to take that out and clip that to Jim Martin. Tuck my shirt in today. All of a sudden, we complain over, tell you what, we'll stand up and fight because somebody breaks tradition. But we don't even know the Word of God to know whether or not they're committing heresy. Come on now. You know why? Because we've got other gods. The way we've done it is more important than what God's doing. What we have seen in the past is more important than what God's doing today. What we want church to be is more important than what God wants church to be. Our denomination is more important. I'll tell you. You know good and well I'm sold out to my denomination. But I'm going to tell you, there's some lines. There's some things. My denomination ever gets there, I'm out. I'm done. My commitment to the denomination is to help it grow in faith. And when I go to the General Assembly at the end of July, I'm not one that just goes and says yes to what everybody says. I don't even just say no. I'm one of the few that I'll get up behind the microphone in front of all the ordained bishops of the Church of God and let them know what I think. Because it's my responsibility. But I'm going to tell you something. Church of God is nothing compared to the Word of God. Souls Harbor is nothing compared to the Word of God. If you don't want to follow the Word of God, you got the wrong pastor. You're in the wrong place. We've got to serve our God. How do we serve our God? We give ourselves completely and totally to Him. We commit ourselves to Him. When I lead people in the sinner's prayer, I ask you to admit that you have sinned, you've messed up, you've made mistakes. I ask you to believe that Christ died for your sin, was buried with those sins, and rose again victorious over those sins. And I ask you to commit to live your life for Him. That C, that commit, is what changes everything. My daily but today was from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It says, But now that you've given yourself to God, but now that you've been saved, but now that you're a follower of Christ, but now, you should live holy in everything you do. Just as God who called you is holy. But now, you have a responsibility to live holy, to live righteous, to live committed. And that's when you get rid of the other idols. That's when you get rid of the other idols. This morning, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to be honest with you. Today I'm doing it for your protection. Because today I believe there may be some in the room that say, Pastor Tommy, everybody thinks I'm saved. But I've got idols in my life that I need to give over. There may be some of you here going, man, nobody even knows me, but I want to make sure that God's number one in my life. There is victory and there is peace and there is power in worshiping God. If you're here today and you want to give your heart to the Lord, I want you to lift up your hand. I'll give you a few moments. This is your day. You want to give your heart to the Lord, I just want you to lift up your hand today. Yes, yes, yes. 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 I want everybody in this building to pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. But today I believe that you took my sin. You were buried with my sin. And you rose victorious over my sin. And today I confess and I commit to live my life for you, to follow you in all that I do, and to make you number one in every part of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to give God a praise clap today.